Welcome to the Investing Tutor Podcast, the show for professionals looking to master the most up-to-date strategies needed to build wealth and provide a stable financial future. Here's your host, Dr. Hans Boateng.
Hey friends, Dr. Hans here, the Investing Tutor, and I have an incredible episode for you today. Joining us on the podcast is Jessa Busta. Jessa spent 12 years of her life in corporate America. She came to this point in her life where she realized that there are a lot of social constructs that hold women back when it comes to the topic of building wealth. So she's committed her life to helping women understand how they can build wealth and financial legacy. So friends, without further ado, help me welcome Jessa Busta.
Yeah, thank you, Dr. Hans.
It's my absolute pleasure.
Can we talk about why women often have this fear when it comes to investing or the stock market?
Yeah, absolutely. Well, you know, I think I'm going to tap into being a woman and sort of speak through this space that I think as women and as young girls, Dr. Han, we're taught to be cautious and super careful and maybe rule followers. And so then when we take a look at the stock market, when we turn on the TV, I think the stock market can be super dramatized and it can feel really scary, like, oh my gosh, there's a crash. Oh my gosh, there's a correction, bear market, bull market. What are all of these things? And so, you know, I think there's this really big opportunity to help people understand, yes, the market crashes. Yes, the market corrects. But if we can learn to understand what the market does and to really anticipate some of these things, we can feel really confident investing and really knowing that we can build wealth over the long term. And I was able to get started in this 5 years ago. And I think the biggest mistake that we can make, the riskiest thing that we can do, Dr. Hans, is not invest.
What was your money mindset back then, right? Before you got to know more about the topic of money and wealth building, what was your mindset back then? And kind of walk us through how it's been transformed to where it is now.
I grew up sort of learning some of these really scarcity thoughts around money. So I thought, Dr. Hans, that debt was evil. If you had any debt to your name, that this was a bad thing and you had to tackle all debt. I thought, you know, I would go to school, go to college, work really hard, get a job, a 9-to-5 job, do that until I retired. Sort of like this hustle, right? Join the rat race, do all the things, save a little, live on a little. And what I realized was, you know, and part of this is probably just becoming an adult, right? You learn that the world is, you've got the world at your fingertips, or at least, you know, I feel like I've been lucky to have all of these opportunities. And what I've learned, Dr. Hans, is that I think that money is really a creative process. So it wasn't long ago that I was terrified of student loan debt. And I thought that, you know, I had a lot of shame carrying student loan debt, and I had a personal loan, and I had some credit card debt, and all of these things I just felt petrified by. I'm bad, and I would just hold my debt quietly in the corner. And what I didn't realize was that not all debt is created equal. And so early on, I did everything I could to tackle debt, but I was missing the part of the picture that was investing. And I will say there were things that I was doing well initially, I was sort of a box checker. So I was chipping away and putting money into my 401k. I was putting a little bit of money into my Roth. I was putting everything I possibly could to get rid of this evil thing that I thought was debt. But I didn't really know how I was doing it. So like my 401k, it was just sort of a default selection. And I would bite my nails hoping that it would increase. And for all I knew, it was just the money I was putting in and it wasn't growing in any way. And so I had some of these like stuck things, you know, mindset things when it came to money. The other thing is, so much of how I thought about money was consumption, right? So I thought about, you know, I thought wealthy people had these big houses in the hills and they drove these fancy cars. And it wasn't until I read a book, The Millionaire Next Door, that I realized, you know, there are a lot of quiet millionaires out there and that it's not always things that make us happy. It can really be experiences and enriching experiences and being involved and learning and participating in process and having strong relationships. So I slowly have started to have these mindset shifts to realize, you know, I want wealth, I want abundance, both financially and, you know, spiritually, I guess, speaking.
Wow, Jessa, you really have touched on a topic which is near and dear to my heart, right? It is this concept that debt is bad, debt is evil, and that individuals need to, you know, use up their entire focus and attention on tackling debt. You know, it's something that has really been on my mind because whenever people approach the topic of money from a place of fear or from a place of shame, right? Feeling like they are inadequate or because of debt, they don't deserve to be able to build wealth. And believe it or not, this is often what is communicated by certain financial experts. I'll never forget this one time I read a book and this gentleman, a well-known financial advisor in New York City, not going to mention his name, he said that a person has to earn the right to invest in the stock market. And the way that you earn the right is by, you know, getting to a certain level of debt freedom or having a certain level of savings and whatever his metrics in his mind. And I was looking at this gentleman and I was saying to myself, like, you have no idea about what is happening to many underrepresented populations. And you can sit on your high horse and, you know, look down on others and say, well, you don't earn the right to go invest. But then that individual doesn't realize how that entrenches poverty or how that prevents generational wealth. So for you, Jessa, to have been able to figure out that, and I would love to also talk about that transition. Like, how did you shift your mindset, right? For you to have figured out that, you know what, this whole thing about debt isn't really as bad as people make it out to be. And in actuality, right, debt can be used as a tool to get us ahead, right? So it depends on the type of debt. And also often, some individuals just don't have the financial ability and capability to be able to take care of some, you know, financial emergencies or things that pop up, and they have to, you know, dip into a credit card or some type of personal loan. So to imagine that we live in a world which shames these individuals, when we suggest, oh, can we pay people a little bit more, perhaps a $15 minimum wage, to help lift people out of poverty, everyone throws their hand up and they're like, no, we cannot raise, you know, minimum wages. So it's almost like
what do we do? Jess, I'll let you kind of share about how that shift happened for you. And, you know, what are your thoughts about this? Oh, if we raise the minimum wage, people are going to lose their jobs.
Yeah, no, there's so much there, Dr. Hans, and you starting talking about this financial advisor in New York City, you know, as I reflect on, and, you know, him saying we have to earn the right to invest in the stock market. I think one of the things that we have going for us today is the power of the internet. Because, you know, maybe 50 or 60 years ago, you had to have some sort of net worth, whether it's $50,000 or $100,000, to be able to invest and to be able to hire a broker that would make trades for you and eventually, you know, create a collection of what at the time were mutual funds. The game has completely changed because of the internet. And I think that's amazing. At the same time, I think the internet creates so much noise and so much confusion that it can be really tricky to understand, you know, what is the right path that will get me the information I really need. So I applaud your entire platform, Dr. Hans. I think you've done an amazing job, you know, helping set people up for success. And I think you're right. Like, there are these underrepresented populations, whether we look across, you know, gender, race, there's really, actually Elevest came out with this statistic about women, that women own 32 cents for every dollar that a man owns. And for me, I don't think this is because women aren't intelligent. I don't think this isn't because women aren't capable. I think it's because we haven't had access to the right information to teach us and tell us, hey, you've got what it takes. It's going to require time. It's going to require energy. You're going to have to get educated. But you've got this. You can do it. And in fact, again, going back to not investing is pretty risky. And you know, to your question about like raising minimum wage, helping people out of poverty, in my opinion, the way that we can have the greatest impact is by having wealth. I think that by building wealth, it gives, you know, personally speaking, you can gain time freedom, you can have financial freedom, you can really focus in on serving those that you're most passionate about serving, whether it's your children, whether it's your community, whether it's the world at large. You can look at what Bill and Melinda Gates are doing, and that is powerful. So I think the first step is how do we help encourage people to realize, hey, anybody can invest. Anyone can become an owner. It does require discipline. It does require learning. But the biggest thing is you have to start, and you have to, you know, you have to be willing to get involved. I think of going back to my story for a second, Dr. Hans. You know, I mentioned that I was sort of doing some of the right things. So I was working for a large corporation and they offered an incredible 401k. And so I was contributing to my 401k, and I had heard of a Roth IRA, and oh, you don't get taxed on a Roth. You can pull out all of your capital gains when you retire tax free. And so I said, okay, I don't totally get it, but I'm just going to throw some money in there. And there were, luckily, there are some really nice investments that just follow the largest indices. So I was picking some default investments, like investing in the S&P 500 as an example. And so it was sort of my brave start, but I really was nervous and terrified and didn't really know what investing was and how to invest. And 5 years ago, I was working for General Mills. I left and went to a small startup based out of San Diego called Suja Juice. And Suja created this organic cold press, incredible juice. And our mission was to democratize juice and get it in everyone's hands. And so I had the great opportunity to work with smart, talented, scrappy people as we tried to get this juice into Walmart and Costco and all of these big retailers. And we would be in cities across the U.S., and as we were, you know, getting to know each other, my my boss and our CEO of the company, we started to have these, you know, financial conversations. And for me, I was, you know, like I said, the nail biter who was sort of doing the things, but didn't really know if it was working and wasn't really tracking it, didn't feel very organized. And it was my boss. I remember I had rolled our 401ks into a brokerage account. So they were now in IRAs. So they were still retirement accounts and had the tax protection. And so I called up my boss one night and I was all excited. I had actually just read Tony Robbins' book, Unshakable, and I was all excited about, hey, I think I figured this out and I'm working with this new financial advisor. But the only thing, Nikki, what he told me is that I would gain 4-6% return, and that was great. And then in the, you know, again, going back to, and when you're 65, you can retire and everything will be okay. And so I told my boss at the time, I said, 4-6%, like that, does that sound low to you? And she said, Jessa, you are a smart woman. I'm going to give you some resources. You can go out, buy funds like the market if that's what feels right for you, but also you have what it takes to invest in individual companies. And so that was kind of the nudge I needed, Dr. Hans, to say, okay, yeah. And she shared with me her story. She said, you know, over the last 5 years, I bought Netflix. I'm trying to remember the four companies that she told me. It was like Netflix. It might've been like, you know, Tesla. There were just a handful. Maybe it wasn't. Anyway, I'm moving off the point here, but she had these incredible successes by buying companies that were not, you know, rocket science, sort of common sense companies that I was already consuming. And Amazon, I think, was one of them. And she had made all of this money by putting, you know, a lot of money into her retirement, but then also doing some investing on the side in companies that she thought had a lot of opportunity to grow. And she saw tremendous success and it even hit 7 figures in her portfolio, Dr. Hans. So as she shared this with me, I was like, you know what? I've got to get in on this and I've got to learn. And honestly, where I started was I think I paid $200 and I bought a Motley Fool stock advisor subscription. And, you know, I started to research companies. I made a spreadsheet and I thought I had to have all of the financial ratios figured out. And what I learned is there's a lot of difference between, you know, growth companies and value companies. And those financial ratios are applied in different ways. But I just started to engross myself and begin to understand. And then I had a conversation with my husband, my better half, and said, you know what? I want to take a stab at taking some of this cash that we've worked so hard for and invest it. And Dr. Hans, what's happened has been nothing short of incredible. And I wish I could just stand on a soapbox and help people understand that sometimes it's just common sense, right? Gary Vee, he's a guy I follow, and he talks so much about these social platforms. Like, do you use Facebook? Okay, great. Is it worth owning Facebook, right? So I think, you know, Google, have you gone to Google? I've probably gone to it 20 times and it's just 10:44 in the morning, right? And so I think just allowing people to be empowered by, we live every day, we consume every day. How do you slow down and think through what is it that I am consuming? And is there an opportunity to start investing? And for me, what's happened is that we've, you know, 4x'd that original base that we started with 5 years ago by just starting. And also the other thing that if you'll allow me, I would love to quickly touch on was I was just looking at it and talking to my husband about this yesterday in preparation for this call together. As I was looking over our portfolio, we do have two stocks that have been complete doozies. We have a cannabis stock, and then we also have a stock that I call our lottery ticket stock, which a friend told me about. It's a penny stock. And when we bought it, I very well knowingly told my husband, this is our lottery ticket stock. It may be bought by big oil or it will drop to zero. And so we put a small amount in for fun. So we have two stocks that have not done well, but you know how it goes. You only lose money when you sell. And everything else, I think 10 of our 20 stocks are up more than 100%. And this is just over the last 5 years. So I have been amazed, and I am no smarter than any of your listeners. I just decided, you know, enough is enough and I'm going to start. And so hopefully that's motivating and people can understand. Yes, it takes some time, attention, and focus, but I think our money and our wealth and our ability to live freely is worth the time and attention.
Oh, Jessa, it truly is worth the time and attention. As I was listening to your fascinating story, I just had a huge smile on my face because I mean, that 4X return, right? That 400% return that you all have enjoyed over the past 5 years is so inspirational, right? Because you didn't have to show up anywhere to earn that money, right? You placed your money into the market to work for you. Now, I want to shift to talking about some of the companies, and I know you had spoken about individuals realizing that the companies that you consume, all of these different, you know, businesses are investment opportunities. All it takes is for someone to shift their mindset to realize that, I mean, if you're watching Netflix, it's important to know that you can be making money off of Netflix as well, if you're an investor, right? And most people don't think in that way. We just generally and naturally just think of companies as, okay, I can buy this thing from this company, or I can buy this service, or I can use this product. But if we flip it to, I can own this company, and as people buy products and services from different companies, you get to participate, right, as an owner, and you get to see your wealth grow. So, Jessa, let's talk about some of the companies that have treated you really well, if I should say, or and we don't need to mention all of them, but some of your favorite stocks that have, you know, done really well over the past 5 years.
Yeah, I would be so happy to. So I just pulled up my TD Ameritrade account, which is where I have some of our stock holdings. So I want to mention a couple that everyone will know well, which Amazon, Facebook, let's see, Pinterest, we own PayPal, Twitter. So these are just a handful. There's one Dr. Hans where we're up, you know, 1600%. So this is a stock that 16X, this is TTD, and this is a company that I learned about. It's a marketing platform. It's a cloud-based software. So I think, again, I mentioned the internet, but it's fascinating the way the internet is helping us do business. But it's a cloud-based software that is helping people choose ads. And so, you know, so they have so many clients. And when you think about doing ad spend on Facebook, on Instagram, on Google, you can spend money so fast and not have the payout be very effective. But what the Trade Desk does is they sort of vet the opportunities for you. And so this stock has completely blown up. We bought it at $48. Today it's trading at $848. So that's been probably the one that's been the most fun. But like I mentioned, so many of these other ones are just well-known companies that were consumers of Pinterest. That has been so much fun, especially, you know, recently. That one we're up 174%. So just by buying companies that we really know, it's been incredibly rewarding.
Congratulations. I mean,
Trade Desk really delivered for you all. And when you talked about Trade Desk, I remembered Motley Fool, which I'm also a subscriber of Motley Fool. And it's an incredible publication. You know, one of the things that I believe is valuable as investors is it's great to get ideas from credible sources, right? And Motley Fool is a phenomenal source of information, one of the many credible sources of information. And what you do for the listeners is when you get these ideas from, you know, different credible sources, then you have to go and vet these ideas, right? So perhaps you go analyze the stock or you go listen to the CEO perhaps speak. You know, you can use YouTube, right, which is owned by Google, hint, hint. And you can listen to the CEO kind of share their vision, their strategy. And often, just doing that enables you to discover incredible stocks, just like Jessa did, which opens you up to an incredible wealth building opportunity. I did want to highlight one thing though. You notice that Jessa said there was maybe one stock which, you know, wasn't your typical large market cap stock. I believe she said it was a penny stock. But please keep in mind, Jessa didn't put like a ton of money into like the penny stocks. Like that's part of why I wanted her to share with us, you know, the portfolio that she has. And if you notice, you know, there are reputable companies like your Amazons, your Twitters, the Facebooks, the PayPal, which, by the way, just are phenomenal companies. Just amazing, amazing work. Just for someone who's listening right now and they are thinking to themselves, maybe they haven't taken, you know, an investing program and or course, and they are thinking to themselves, well, what if I buy PayPal, Amazon, Pinterest, and I lose all of my money? Can you go ahead and talk to that person who has this preconceived notion that your money can just disappear in the stock market?
Yes, absolutely. So when you are buying a stock, you are buying ownership into a company. And when I think about some of these large companies, you have to remember that there are probably thousands, if not tens of thousands, of employees working for these companies. And these companies are making millions. Most of the companies that I'm invested in have millions of dollars of revenue, meaning they have millions of dollars coming into these companies. And so the idea of a company going from tens, hundreds, in some cases, billions of dollars in revenue on a strong business, the idea of that company going down to zero is, you know, frankly, it's impossible. And so when you're buying a company, and I think, you know, going back to the penny stock idea, the penny stock I bought knowing that the company had a lot of debt, it had a machine that it was betting on, and it was sink or swim. So I was okay kissing that money goodbye. But with where most all of my money is, beyond, you know, the retirement accounts and our monies that we have well diversified in ETF funds and funds available through our retirement programs, when I'm betting on stocks, these are companies that have a lot of value, right? They have people working for them and they're generating tons of income. So while I may see them drop 1%, 3%, 5%, I think last year in March, you know, 30, 50%, some of them, while that may happen, these are companies, probably much like companies that your listeners work at, that are generating profit every single day. And so the reality is that the stock price is just, is not going to go to zero. Well, over the long term, there will be bumps. You know, you think of a growth curve and things go up and down. But over the long term, by and large, these sound companies that you're invested in, if you're careful, will grow. And they will, by posting growth, that you as a shareholder will benefit. So I think this is where we can get nervous, right? Even myself, I'm guilty. If I'm looking at my TD Ameritrade app too much, or, you know, last year in March, it was like, oh, wow, this feels pretty terrible. What's going on? But I think it's the ability to have the mindset shift and to understand, you know, I'm investing in a company that has a lot of value. I believe in this company. And, you know, as I look at their financial, I know the market cap is how much is this company worth? And I can look, you know, you can look into some of these companies. You can go out to, you know, Yahoo Finance or TD Ameritrade or whatever site and kind of get familiar. But the idea of these companies going to zero, that might be the world ending, Dr. Hans. I don't know. This just can't happen. It won't happen.
Yes, it definitely won't happen. You know, individuals look at a company and they don't realize that the stock market is what is powering, you know, that company or institution, especially if it's a publicly traded company. So what do I mean by this? I want you to think of, and this is for the listeners, I want you to think of the stock market as, in quote, electricity, right? And this is just trying to simplify here. And it is powering these companies. So in essence, you know, Facebook, Google, Pinterest, Uber, Disney, Microsoft, Boeing, right? The stock market is powering these companies. It is because of the stock market that these companies have access to capital, right? So for example, if a large corporation wants to raise money, whether it's a bond offering or they want to go borrow money, or if they want to even sell more shares to get access to money, it is how the stock market is, in quote, rating them, right? And the stock market rates or values companies based on, you know, their market cap, right? So it's based on how the stock market is valuing the company. It gives banks or lenders or even the market as a whole confidence in that particular institution. So I say all of that to say the stock market is powering companies. So for you to imagine, right? So for a listener to imagine or to think or believe that, you know, the stock market could just go to zero, or that a company can just go to zero if they invest in it, that's the equivalent of you saying that we're going to wake up one day and Amazon is going to be gone, right? And Amazon has about 500,000 employees, probably more, because during the pandemic, they hired like what, an additional 150,000. I mean, Amazon is making what, about $270 billion. In revenue. I mean, pause and think about that for a moment. For a company like that to go from $270 billion to what, $0? Yeah, I mean, it is unrealistic. Definitely not in the next 20, 30, 40 years. I just can't see it happening. So for anyone who just is scared of the stock market, please understand that the stock market powers the economy, and it powers these publicly traded companies that we all love dearly. And the stock market is really not going anywhere. Jess, I wanted to transition to, you know, just listening to you speak, talking about, you know, I own these stocks, or I own these investments, or I placed my money in these investments. It was just so empowering listening to you, because you remind me of my wife, Tiff. You know, even though I'm the investing tutor, she wants to be able to purchase her own investments, right? She wants to
be able to have her brokerage account so that she can go analyze her stocks and be the one to click buy. She doesn't want, in quote, me even as the investing tutor to be the one to manage her investment account. And I really admire this about her. And I try to really encourage any and every woman, have some level of autonomy. Don't just say, oh, the man will take care of it, right? Having that level of autonomy is so important. So I wanted to have you speak about this, right? Just the topic of women and money. Women often just wanting to, be in the passenger seat instead of, you know, sometimes also being in the driver's seat.
Yeah, no, this is a really important topic. And thank you for bringing it up, Dr. Hans. I think actually Farnoosh Torabi, and I know you've been on her podcast, and she recently had an article in Bloomberg that cited a survey that 60% of women answered that they would like to be taken care of. And when I hear or see that type of thing, I feel really crushed, because I think that a lot of times it's not that we don't know deep inside as women that we have what it takes. It's more that we're afraid to start and we don't know how to start. But I think that it's so important. You know, I think of my husband and I, when we do finances, it's team, right? There are two of us, and I have as much say and contribution, and probably when it comes to the world investing, because I'm so fired up about it. I spend much more time than he does, but I think there is this opportunity for us as women to not, I saw on Instagram once, to not do money like Carrie Bradshaw. We can certainly dress like Carrie Bradshaw, and you know, she's this iconic woman, but unfortunately what we see so much is women being taken care of, and what I've experienced and so many women that I talk to have experienced is that it's really fear that's holding us back. I think it's being, you know, we're overly cautious. And so we want to put all of our money in cash. God forbid anything should happen and we don't have money to protect our family. And while I think that all of this is important, I think women, I know myself, speaking for myself, by being empowered and investing and seeing my choices grow and also learning from my choices that haven't grown, just the process itself has been so incredibly rewarding. And I think all women have this opportunity to join the money conversation, right? Like we can ask questions. And if we feel like we're getting answers, kind of like this New York advisor that you mentioned that's saying you don't belong here, well, then find another table because now is the time. The best time might have been 10 years ago, but it's today. You can always get started. You can always learn. Money is our currency, right? So it's kind of like food. We have both of these things we have to interact with every single day. And so as women, we have this opportunity to be at the helm of our finances. I think, Ella Vest and Sally Krawcheck, the founder of Ella Vest, which if you're not familiar, check out her stuff. It's pretty incredible. But you hear a lot how women were in the workforce typically for less years than men because maybe we've stepped aside and done child rearing or helped out with parents, whatever the case may be. We earn less, right? So I think we earn maybe 84 cents on the dollar to a man. We live longer. And so we've got these couple of things working against us. So we, if anyone, should really be investing because we need to have our money growing for us because we're going to be around longer. We're not able to work as many years. And I know because I've done it and I've worked with a lot of women who are doing it. And I've been surrounded by some incredible women who have sort of shown me the ropes that we as women have what it takes. And it's about starting small, right? It's about participating in your retirement fund if you're not. It's about exploring a Roth. It's about even investing in things like the S&P, in some of these indices like the S&P 500 or the Dow Jones Industrial Average, right? Or taking a look at the NASDAQ. These are, I think, the most popular indices, and you can buy funds that track them, but you've got to start. And so my recommendation to women is, you know, maybe just start small. Start by saying, you know, I can't contribute 20% of my earnings toward financial goals like investing, but I can start with $50 a month. And then once you're doing that well and you're starting to gain momentum, then it's $100 a month. Right. And then maybe it gets a little bit higher. But the biggest thing is you've got to start, because you've got time on your side. And we as women have this incredible opportunity to join the money conversation. And the best time to do that is today. So hopefully there's a woman or two out there that might be feeling afraid. And I promise there is so much to be gained by starting to talk about and learn about money.
Jessa, thank you so much. For listeners in the audience that want to connect with you, can you share where they can find you, where they can connect with you? And also, I would love for you to talk about your Wealth Accelerator program as well.
Yeah, 100%. You can find me on all of the social platforms. So on Instagram, my handle is Jessa Busta, JessaBusta. I have a website, www.jessabusta.com. It has a ton of information, free resources. So I hope you'll check it out and follow along and hopefully gain a thing or two. And then I mentioned the money method, but yes, the Wealth Accelerator is something that I created to really create a group community of women. I'm actually launching my next group next week, Dr. Hans, but it's a group of women where we come together for community, education, and collaboration around finance. So it's a 6-month program. We meet every other week over Zoom, and it's incredible. I bring in guest experts, so experts in the finance space, and we also have some wellness experts that are just incredible women that come in and teach us. I've built a course that helps women gain confidence around money. So we focus on getting really organized. And then we also focus on becoming educated and learning to invest. And it's been a lot of fun. So I have built that program, the Wealth Accelerator. We go through, you know, investments. We go through the art of asset allocation. So while I own individual stocks, I also think being very smart about the diversification of your assets is so important for the long term. We touch on real estate investing, which is something that I'm really excited about. And so it's just this community, this group program to help women take that next step and get really involved in the money conversation.
You all, I told you, you are in for a treat. Jessa, thank you so much for sharing just your wealth of knowledge with us. And I'm sure my listeners can tell you have a heart to serve. For anyone listening that, you know, needs, in quote, a mentor, a coach, a guide. And if listening to Jessa really resonated with you, I'd encourage you to reach out to her. As she shared, you can find her on Instagram at Jessa Busta. And I'm going to leave a link to her website and Instagram in the podcast notes. So with that, I just want to thank you, Jessa, for, you know, stepping into this space and having just a heart to serve, to teach, to educate, to help individuals, especially women, just shift that mindset around debt, shift that mindset around just fear
of investing, right, or of the stock market, and providing them with the tools, the community, and the knowledge needed for them to be successful in their financial pursuit. So it was just so great having you. Thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you, Dr. Hans. It's been an absolute pleasure. And I am so appreciative of you and all of the great work you do. I love following along. So thank you. This has been a treat.